Okay, I want to call to order a special meeting of the Benton County Board of Commissioners. Today's April 9th. It's 3:30, and this is a commissioner workshop on the canine shelter. And so our plan is we're going to have a presentation by Greg and Josh. Josh runs the canine shelter, and then we'll have a discussion amongst ourselves with staff. We've asked staff to look at different options, and that's what we're being presented with today. I don't expect a decision by the board today, because we certainly will welcome comments after this meeting. Our plan is not to take public comment, that we just want to listen and then have a discussion amongst ourselves, because we can't do that any other place except if we call a special meeting, because we can't talk to each other outside this room. The law doesn't allow us to. So we have to use staff sometimes to go back and forth amongst the members, and sometimes translation is lost in that. So we hope to have a good discussion about the canine shelter. And do you want to, you said you had some comments. Do you want to make those now, or you want to wait to have the presentation?
I can kind of tee it up a little bit.
Okay.
I know we have public here. We have heard your concerns. We have read your emails. I think there's some members here that when I was on Richland City Council and we were looking at funding for the Tri-City Animal Shelter. I know I was one of the council members that went out there and made sure we had funding to go ahead and support that. I know that if anyone walked to my office in Prosser right now, the first thing you would see is a bunch of labs on a big picture out there. I brought this up in a Law and Justice Council. We have Law and Justice Council meetings. I think next week, as on Wednesday, we'll have another one that includes all the police chiefs, mayor, city manager, city council members, members of the public. And I brought this particular issue up several months ago and addressed it as one of the top priorities, as myself being one of the new board members, to go ahead and get fixed. I know that I went with Greg, one of our staff members here, to the Canine Animal Shelter last fall, and we've been working on this. So I met with our civil attorneys that are in the corners here last week, I believe, and we looked at the back history. I wanted to know what the history was. My two other commissioners allowed me to be in that meeting because we can't be together. And this has been a 25 to 30 year ongoing issue. It's never been permanently fixed. So I think today, after we see our presentation from some of our staff members, I think the goal here is to permanently fix an issue that's been going on for the last 20, 25 years. Is it going to be perfect? No, because we'll always have to pivot and do things to fix it. But we're going to raise that bar from good, better to best. And I think the public, this will be good for the public, good for our animals and our dogs. And a win-win for everybody, including the sheriff's office, everybody all together. So the community, the canine shelter, and et cetera. So I'm looking forward to our presentation today. Thank you.
Commissioner,
I'm good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, let's just go right in then. Greg and Josh.
You can ask questions as
they go. Oh, yep.
Bear with me here for a moment. I'm going to share my screen. And there we go.
And Josh, real quick, I want to go ahead and point out. The pictures on this are, it says all dogs that are featured are local and looking for homes right now, correct?
Yeah, they may not be only in our shelter, but yes, we definitely try to put some that are looking for homes. So if people may think they're cute and they're looking for another doggy, then yeah.
All right.
Absolutely. We're happy to showcase them today. To begin, we are here today to discuss the operations of our Benton County Canine Shelter, along with the administration of our county's dangerous and potentially dangerous dog ordinances. I'll start with an overview of a few things we plan to discuss, and includes a little bit of background information. We'll look at our county codes. We'll look at our staffing levels at the canine shelter. We'll dive in and kind of look at four points of concern that have been raised about the administration of our dangerous dog ordinances, a potential solution. We'll look at three more long-term solutions for the board to consider during the workshop. And then we'll wrap up with some of the discussion of some other things to consider. Let's see here. Okay. So we wanted to begin this discussion by identifying which code chapters reference and regulate our dogs in unincorporated Benton County. With this, we have two code sections. They're Benton County Code 2.20. This is our dangerous and potentially dangerous dog section. This code is administered by the Sheriff's Office, who is by definition the county's animal control authority. And we also have Benton County Code 2.26. This is our animal at-large dog section of the code. And this code is administered by the Benton County Canine Shelter as the acting animal control officer for at-large dogs. Next, we kind of like to discuss and provide some background on our current staffing levels at the canine shelter. With that, I'd like to introduce Josh. Josh is our canine shelter supervisor, and have Josh kind of explain the operations at the shelter, how many employees that are currently there. And go ahead, Josh.
Yeah, so at the canine shelter, we do have two full-time employees, including myself. I also have a part-time employee who isn't an animal control officer, but she helps with the day-to-day cleaning, feeding, helps with adoptions and some of the paperwork that we kind of fall behind on. So she's a benefit to us there. What we do at the shelter, we definitely clean the kennels for the dogs every morning, feed at night, take care of them throughout the day. We do adoptions from the shelter. So we adopt our canines that have no owners that we bring in. We, of course, answer phones, take reports, whether it be missing canines or found canines. We jot that down. So if someone calls us and they're looking for a dog, if we have that report, then we can kind of connect them with the finder of the canine. We do take the stray dogs at large into the shelter when we have the space. And we also assist the Benton County Sheriff's Office with dangerous dogs and potentially dangerous dogs when, again, we have the space or the availability. Now that is on the weekends or after hours. During the day, we definitely help them when needed because we're there from the 8 to 5 hours.
Okay. Perfect. Thanks.
Question, a little more detail on that, Josh. Mm-hmm. So how many dogs can you hold in the facility and the variables that go into that?
Yeah, so right now for stray canines that are just at large, I have 10 kennels. For them. I have 6 kennels saved for the sheriff's office. And then I have 2 quarantine rooms where we keep our injured canines or our canines that have puppies.
So when you say you keep for the sheriff, that's for dangerous dogs that
yes.
they bring in.
Yes, or anything that they seize, whether it be like okay. hoarding or anything like that, we try and keep open spaces for them.
Okay, so can you double up in those kennels?
Not usually. Okay. We have a safety divider that we need mm-hmm. to use for dangerous dogs mm-hmm. in case they are wanting to bite us. We can close them off while we feed or clean their kennels.
Then off the top of your head, do you have I should have gave you some amazing questions. You'd have some answers for you. But percentage-wise, how much of the time is the shelter full, you think, would you estimate?
Yeah, in the last couple years, it's basically 100% full on stray dogs, mm-hmm. Not always full with dangerous dogs or potential mm-hmm. dangerous, but with dogs at large and their strays, yeah, for the last couple years, we've been at capacity every single day.
And you say during regular business hours, what are those?
Those are 8 to 5.
8 to 5.
Yes.
And you use volunteers?
We do, but only to walk.
Only to walk the dogs?
Yes.
And such? Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. I just a little yep. more detail. Thank you, Josh.
Yep.
Okay. Next, we've taken the main points of concern about the county's administration of our dangerous dog ordinances and broken them down into kind of 4 different focus areas. I'll expand on each of these as we move forward, but the 4 areas include there's a need for for on-call, after-hour, weekend staffing to impound dangerous dogs. There's limited space at our canine shelter. We raised the question of who should determine if a dog is potentially dangerous or dangerous, and then some risk management issues associated with dangerous dogs. So staffing for after hours and weekends. Our first point of concern or area of focus is there's a need for on-call after-hour staffing to impound dangerous dogs. With our current staffing levels, the shelter services cannot be guaranteed after hours or on weekends. The sheriff's office has been offered, you know, opportunities in the past. We've mentioned to this in previous meetings about limited training opportunities, gate access to outside kennels, shelter vehicle equipment for after hour calls. But as of today, that's not been accepted from the sheriff's office. In the fall of 2023, and again, recently, within the last 2 weeks, we've reached out to the Tri-City Animal Shelter regarding a potential contract for after hours and weekend calls for dangerous dogs. Unfortunately, they've informed the county they're not able to move forward with a contract at this time on an interim basis. Like other regional agencies, they are attempting to fulfill their basic requirements as the animal control authority for their member cities, which is their main responsibility, and they're unable to expand their scope of services at this time. The second point of concern there is a lack of kennel space at the canine shelter. We've seen a steep increase in demand the past 2 years, and I'll let Josh kind of touch on that, similar to what you and Jerome just spoke about.
Yeah, I was just going to talk about kind of the kennel space that we do have currently. I guess I did do that when Jerome asked that question. But yeah, like Greg said, in the last 2 years, it's just been a huge uptick in just dogs in general, but yeah, stray dogs and dogs getting abandoned, and not only us, but just kind of everywhere is running out of room real fast if they haven't ran out already.
Thank you, Josh. Mm-hmm. We will move on to our third point of concern, focuses on the question of who should make the determinations whether a dog should be deemed to be dangerous or potentially dangerous. Historically, this has been a responsibility of the sheriff's office as the county's animal control authority to determine if a dog is deemed to be dangerous or potentially dangerous. The sheriff's office issues dangerous dog declarations, requires dogs to be impounded, require permits for dangerous dogs, and conducts enforcement of these regulations as necessary. The canine shelter, as Josh had mentioned earlier, they do assist the sheriff's office with apprehension and impounding when they are available and there's appropriate kennel space. The question, I guess to end this with, is who is or what agency should have that administrative role for something for the board to consider to make these type of dangerous dog determinations? Oops. The fourth and final point of concern is that there's a need for trained and certified canine officers to administer the dangerous dog ordinances in unincorporated Benton County on an on-call 24/7 basis. Our staff at the canine shelter is certified, they're trained, and I'd like, if we have a moment here, for Josh to kind of discuss some of those training and certifications with the board today.
Yeah, so me and my full-time officer, we have done our training and certifications through the National Animal Care and Control Association. Some of the things that we get certified in is canine encounters, de-escalation to situations, animal fighting, dangerous dog and most common encounters officers face, animal hoarding, animal welfare, animal handling, breed identification, animal first aid, and shelter operations and safety cleanings. So the trainings that we've been to teach us all those things currently, and we do have those under our belts.
Perfect. Thank you, Josh.
And question for Josh.
Yes.
And so the training, is that involved how to capture dogs?
It does, yes. And it does teach you how to use the tools on how to catch them, not only catch poles, but other versions of catch poles as well.
Okay. We'll move on now and discuss some potential interim solutions to help the county kind of move forward in the short term. You know, with this being a workshop, we wanted to bring a lot of different ideas to you guys today from a short-term standpoint and a long-term. So from a short-term, you know, for after hours, weekends on call, you know, I think it's important that we explore and enter into a temporary contract if that is a potential, or if we have the ability to do that, with a local animal control rescue agency to assist the county in impounding dangerous dogs. At the shelter space, something we will be planning to do is ensure that we limit the number of at-large dogs in the shelter to ensure there's a higher probability that there's continual available space for dangerous dogs at all times. We're also going to be evaluating the use of outdoor or pop-up kennels for temporary use in emergency situations so we don't get in a pinch like we did earlier last month. We're going to continue to coordinate with our partners, continue to coordinate with other animal control and rescue agencies to further ensure there's continual space at the shelter. And with that, on an interim solution, the Sheriff's Office would continue to do their role, which is to administer BCC 2.20 for dangerous dogs.
Question, how do you limit the number at large dogs? I mean, if there's, you got dogs coming in, I mean, are you able to shift those to other shelters in the area, Josh? Or do you, I mean, just tell people sorry or what?
I would say both.
Both. Okay.
We try to create a list of dogs that are found. So when we do create room, we can call that next person on the list that found that dog that was willing to keep it for us. And then we can bring it in when we can. Now, lately, you know, sometimes that list can go for months until we can get a dog adopted, transferred, or any other means of just getting it out of the shelter. Lately, we've been doing a little bit better where that list has definitely dwindled, you know, to single digits. But yes, right now it is harder to transfer dogs. We do try and reach out to like Seattle and Spokane, but they've also been super full, and it's just kind of getting harder and harder to find places that have open spaces.
What they call the COVID dogs?
Pretty much, yep.
And then also Greg, on this too as well. Once again, this is the interim solutions. It's not getting down to our three options that you're gonna provide.
Correct.
Because if we decide to go with one of the options, it takes time to get staffing up and trained and those type of things. But we'll be working forward to that.
That's correct. Okay, so along with the short-term discussion points, we've developed three potential long-term options for the board to consider. Staff's preferred option is option three. But we want to provide the board, since this is a workshop, this isn't a regular board meeting, we wanted to provide the board as many options as they could have, and a lot of different things to consider. So to start, we'll look at option one, which consists of three parts. For after hours, weekends, on call, we'll continue to explore and enter potentially a long-term contract with a local animal control rescue to assist with dangerous dogs. For shelter space, we would propose to expand the capacity at the existing canine shelter location or look at options for constructing a new larger facility at a different location. And the Sheriff's Office would administer BCC 2.20 for dangerous dogs or enter into a contract with another agency and have that agency designated as the Animal Control Authority for Dangerous Dogs. So that's a lot of different things to consider, but basically, we're just trying to put a lot of things out there and different things for the board to consider and look at. Option two could be to expand the staff at the canine shelter to assist the sheriff's office with on-call evening, weekend impounding of dangerous dogs. It would require two additional full-time employees at the canine shelter. With this, for the shelter space, we would expand the capacity at the existing canine shelter or look at options to construct a new building someplace else. And the Sheriff's Office would continue to administer BCC 2.20 as the Animal Control Authority for Dangerous Dogs. We'll move on to our preferred option, which is option three. In this option, appoint the canine shelter as the animal control authority for dangerous dogs. Just so the board knows, this would require an amendment to Benton County Code BCC 2.20. We would increase the staff at the canine shelter to accommodate on-call 24/7 rotations for dangerous dogs, take over the sheriff's responsibilities associated with dangerous dog declarations and permitting and licensing. We require two additional full-time employees and converting one part-time employee to full-time. All in the same time, we would expand the capacity at the existing canine shelter location or look at options for constructing a new larger facility at a new location. And we wanted to make sure we gave the board a wide range of options to consider and think about.
Question on the both two and three require, I'm reading, two additional full-time employees, and that covers 24/7 with some kind of a rotations. Does two meet that? Did you talk to anyone about, so you have a total of five employees, is that enough to do everything that needs to be done?
Yeah, myself and Matt Rasmussen did do a look at that and punch some numbers and go through a calculation. And we felt like when we were done with that and looked at the calculations that five would be the optimal number in order to do the rotations and meet the necessary objectives.
And we also consulted with Chief Guerrero, who runs the jail and is well-versed in establishing rotation schedules that provide for a 24-hour-a-day operation, just to make sure that with what we were coming up with, he felt that, yeah, we could make that work. And so that, depending on which option ultimately we decide, that having the four full-time canine officers would allow us to provide that 24-hour-a-day coverage. So we'd have on-call officers during certain times of the day and people actually in the office during most of the week and regular business hours. So,
and when it comes to, you guys just pop in. When it comes to expanding the capacity, all three I think had expand the capacity. What would be that expansion? And you've given any idea to if you wanted to do a new location? I know talking to Josh and other, I mean that's kind of centrally located, and so people, you know, want to adopt dogs can come in there and, you know, not have to. I know the county has land out in the middle of nowhere, but you know, that's probably not optimal for people to find their way out there to adopt a dog.
No, I agree. I think the current location is very centrally located in the Tri-Cities, and it's a great location to have people come there for adoptions. It's very convenient. We have looked at the existing facility. We've done some initial design and look at it in terms of expansions. We know we need additional office space in there. It would be really nice if an expansion did occur that we would have a new expansion just for dangerous dogs to separate them from the at-large dog areas. And so they would essentially become kind of two separate. I just think from an adoption standpoint, that would be really nice for when the public comes in. But that's certainly something we've talked about. Mm-hmm. But we don't have any firm plans at this point.
No public comments?
Yes. No,
no public comments?
No. I lost track.
Go ahead. So just to go ahead, you know, I teased staff earlier. This is Benton County Commissioner Michael Alvarez's preferred option out of the three.
Yes.
I know I was teasing you guys when we were looking through this earlier. Bottom line, it does do 24/7 coverage on this. It does look at, I know we looked, myself, Matt, and you as well, looked at the footprint. To if we could go ahead and expand the canine shelter where its current location is, there's other locations we could put in it potentially, if that makes sense to do on a financial basis. That is still maybe a good location. So we're looking at expanding it, 24/7 coverage on this, and we take it over, or the canine shelter takes this over. I think that's a win-win for the community. Is it a perfect solution? No, but it's been a 30-year issue where nothing's really worked. This is, I just want to get it fixed today. And I think this is a permanent, getting us to a permanent solution, getting it fixed today and making it right. And I support this, like I said, and we can go always raise the bar as we start implementing this from interim to more of a permanent fix to where we see tweaks, we can be flexible and pivot and only make it better.
Perfect.
What, we'll,
so go ahead. I agree with what you're saying too. And I think too, like contracting it out would be more expensive than having employees, you know, doing this option three versus contracting it out. And then also, I know it's more money up front adding on to the building, but in the long run, we're saving money because then we're not renting space. You know what I mean? So we're building, the county's building equity back. Absolutely. And stuff. And so I agree with what you're saying, Commissioner Alvarez, and option three, I'm leaning more towards option three just because then it's, you know, it's on us if we make a mistake. It's not on the subcontractor person that we contract out with. So I agree with option three to where let us work with through that and then also do the addition on the building. And I agree with it being more centrally located in the Tri-Cities is a good spot.
And we have more control of it to where we can expand it. We can look at the financing to make sure we can improve it in the future. Mm-hmm. I think that's important. Like I said, let's get this thing fixed today or very shortly as we go through it.
Yeah. Do you have a budget idea at all? Numbers you've been looking at?
Yep.
So we've worked with our budget and finance manager, Linda Ivey, and we have a pretty good idea of what this would cost. We've identified some money in contingency to fund this through the end of this year, but we would have to work through the budget process for 25-26 for a permanent funding solution.
And can I pick on that?
Yes.
So I want to make sure that the public understands that too. So just like other counties, whether it's Franklin County, Yakima County, or King County here recently, it's tight on budgets, but we have this to, we have financing and budgeting through the end of the year. We're going through our biannual budget right now that's going to be coming up. We will find funding for this, and we will make this happen. We're going to have to pivot, reallocate funding from different resources, but we will have this as a continued resource to get done and make it permanent. That's the goal.
What do you think construction time frame if we say yes? I know we got an aggressive building going on now that we're fortunately we've been able to stick money away in the capital budget, which is separate from the operating budget, right? So any ideas or thoughts on that time frame?
I might look at Matt.
Tell me if I'm wrong, but I think if we get on it right now, I mean, obviously, design and permitting and stuff's going to take 4 months or whatever. But I for sure, less than a year. I mean,
Yeah, I think if you started on it right now, obviously, we could probably complete it in 10 to 12 months, yeah. Barring any issues with, you know, there's still back order issues on HVAC equipment and large electrical panel equipment and that kind of stuff. So we had a recent project that we waited 6 months to get an electrical panel. So, but we could definitely move it forward pretty quickly, especially a expansion would be probably faster than a new site.
Yeah.
An
addition should go faster than a new building. Yeah. And so then like you're saying too, like, yeah, power equipment's 12, 14 weeks out, but we would still be able to get going on the construction phase while we're still waiting for the mechanical equipment and electrical equipment that's out a lot longer than what it was before COVID.
We've both been in this business, yeah. So we both know how to do that.
And they're done that.
And then there's another item too. So when we're talking about budgeting and financing, I know there's two allocations or two fundings. I think it's 501 and 5,000 and the other. So about 5,500 in one pool of funding that we'll probably have to go ahead and talk to the other department and get that transferred from Dangerous Dogs to this department if we decide to take this over too. So I saw some line items on there that probably need to be transferred if we decide to make this move in the future.
Yeah. Sir, when that shelter was originally built, do you know how many employees staff that? Do you have a history of when that was originally put in there? Probably was all before our times.
Yeah,
I don't know if Ryan Brown, he's probably been here the longest in here. Which, do you have a recollection?
I don't know what the staffing was, but my understanding is that the period of time after that facility was open, that facility had the ability to go out 24/7
at that time?
Yeah.
Okay. And then one last thing on there is, once again, I know this, there's no public comments. This is a workshop. You know, we've done a few of these. I'm used to this in the city of Richland when I was there as well. But I would encourage you, if there's any ideas or thoughts or improvements that we're missing, email us, call us, let us know. I'm interested. Anything I can learn to improve it, to make it better, we're willing to go ahead and listen and do that.
Certainly show up during our public comment periods at their session. When do you think staff that we could take action on this in the next coming board meeting? I mean,
today we're obviously not making any decisions, but I think we're kind of have an understanding or a temperature check of where the commissioners want to go, so we can put this ball in motion and work with the PA's office for first getting the code amended, and then working with Josh and Greg to start ramping up a hiring process and training process, and working with our capital projects director, Robert Blaine, on looking at an expansion at the facility, et cetera. So we can get started immediately, but first I think we would need to schedule time with the board to amend the code and have some LITs to expand staff and so forth. So right away, I mean, we can get on it right away.
I just had a quick question. How the building we're doing over here for the voting center, how long did it, I mean, that only took 6 months or so, right? For design and permitting?
For design and permitting, and yeah, then you probably got another 6 to 8 months of construction.
Whereas this one will be faster. So I think for sure less than a year.
Yeah. So the only thing I have to say, Chair, is, you know, I know that both of my fellow commissioners here have worked hard on this. Staff has definitely put in hours and hours. I know we did a couple rounds with this in our conference room where I've met with staff and a few of the attorneys. So it's been a lot of work. I appreciate, Josh, you coming in here. And I know this is not normally what you do, but it's important for the community to hear from you as well. So I just want to commend staff for really doing this in a very quick time and putting a plan together. I think this is a win-win for our community, and it's a starting base to at least get started to move it forward. That's the key thing, is getting it to move forward and getting a solution done that has been broke for the last 25 to 30 years from what I'm seeing.
Yeah, and I think, too, you did a really good job on picking the dogs out for the presentation. The one husky was a little sketch, but good job on picking out the cute dogs.
So my sense is, us talking here, is that we're kind of all looking at maybe that option 3, and we can probably get going as soon as staff gets their stuff. I mean, that's what I'm hearing, is that we all kind of agree in that general area then. Okay.
That's probably a good temperature check.
Okay.
Slide. Yep, we got another slide.
Okay.
All right.
There you go. Just to wrap this up, some other considerations. We wanted to just talk a little bit about our non-lethal options to the canine shelter. Currently, the canine shelter does not and will not have a lethal method for dangerous dogs when out in the field. We thought that was important for people to know. With that, we wanted to focus on the need to expand our in-the-field non-lethal animal control techniques. And as we're moving forward and expanding our staff, so I'll let Josh explain those different options.
Yeah, so with non-lethal ones, I mean, honestly, there's not too many other options that really work. From what I have seen, looked up, read, everything like that, tranquilizer guns or darts would be a good way if you're trying to capture any dog, really, that's not letting you get near them or they're acting aggressive. I think a dart gun would be something beneficial to us. The other option would be net guns. Everything that I've read on that, people do shy away from those. They say they don't work too well. And then last resort, which I don't really think we will need this, but would be tasers. But I think tasers are more of just scaring a dog away instead of trying to do what we try and do and catch the dog. So tranquilizer dart guns and net guns are what we're looking into, and there are training for both. So I do plan on sending myself and officers to one or both of those, depending on what we can get at the shelter.
You know, I'm sure Commissioner Alvarez would volunteer for to play the dog role.
Test
to play the dog role.
Well, I was going to say on the tranquilizer part too. I mean, there's that great documentary Jurassic Park where it shoots the dinosaurs. So it works on the dinosaurs. It'll work on the dogs, but the dogs will come back, right? And then it's. How does it work though? So say it is a massive dangerous dog. You tranquilizer it, and it goes to sleep in a minute or two or whatever. What's the decision after that? How do you guys? So you guys still hold on to that dog, and then what happens after that when you hold on, like bring it back to the place?
Correct. So we'll bring it back to the shelter. I don't know the length of time a dog goes to sleep for when you do that.
But enough for you to, it goes to sleep enough for you to grab it and hold it.
Yeah. All we would need is for it to just get loaded up into the vehicle. After that, it's already caught and we can use our other tools like catch poles and things to go into the kennel. And then after that, I mean, our first option is trying to find an owner. If we don't find any owner, then we kind of go from there with how the dog is acting. If it was just scared out on the run out there, and if it's acting different in the shelter, so forth. And
That brings up the question, if you're going to use something like that, then, and you have the training. Maybe I watch too many of those zoo shows at night, but you know, they always, some the larger animals, they have to give a shot to bring them back. I'm sure that's all in the training, but do you have a regular veterinarian that comes through the shelter, or do you contract with one?
Correct. Correct. Yes. And it's right across the street.
Oh, the one right there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I think the takeaway from this is we're supporting you on finding additional training for non-lethal and all other methods so that, you know, you can do your job and bring dogs back into the facility in a safe manner as possible. So definitely support you on the training side. So whatever you can learn, that would be great. Thanks.
Any final comments from staff?
No, I appreciate the discussion from the commissioners. It sounds like we have a temperature, you know, where the board would like to go. So we'll start putting together the documentation necessary to take those formal actions at some upcoming board meetings here, most likely starting with the amendment of the county code.
Any final comments, commissioners?
I just appreciate everybody coming out. Like I said, if you have comments, we will be in Prosser. You can do public comments. If you have any questions or concerns, email us. We're willing to listen and learn. That's all I have.
Okay. With that, meeting adjourned.